So I'll go ahead and read the text, but I'm going to read the text again later on in the sermon, just a style that I was taught, but that I like to do. But I'll go ahead and get into the text today, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. So Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. If you have your Bible, you can also turn there too. Otherwise, I'll just read it from up on the screen. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions." Pull this up here. "And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," oh, here we go, it's working now. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying." Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we get to spend with you today. I thank you for those who made it in spite of the weather, that took time out of their day to come here and worship you today and to be in your house today. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak to your people today. I pray that I would be your vessel, that you would empty me of me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for open hearts and open minds. I pray for those who may not know Jesus. And if they do not know Jesus, I pray that you would prick their hearts and that you would draw them to you. I pray that you would give safe travels later on today. I pray for a good time of fellowship. And overall, I pray that we would glorify you today. In Jesus' name. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me today. It is a joy to be able to speak God's word. Anytime I'm able to speak it, it is a joy. So I knew a bull rider who said one time that also preached. He preached and he was a bull rider. And he said that stepping behind the pulpit was equivalent to stepping on a bull, a wild bull, just before that 8-second starts. And so, you know, and I was talking to Tom about this too. He said that, you know, I don't get nervous preaching to my own congregation, but when I go somewhere new, I get a little nervous. And so, the nerves are there, but it's getting better, let's just say. It's getting better. So let me go ahead and get started here. So many times, God puts a sermon on a preacher's heart long before we preach it to his people. This sermon is an outpouring of what God has been doing in my life and in my heart, and I'm excited to share it with you today. So let me preface with a question. And I want you to all think about this. Why does every interaction that we have with people matter? Okay. I got your attention. Because people keep a video record in their hearts and minds of every interaction that we have with them. Now, sometimes they are testing us to get a response that will dictate where that relationship will lead. I would argue that we also do this to other people subconsciously. Would y'all agree on that? So until we can learn what these tests look like, the tests can seem quite costly. However, after seeking out answers from the Lord as to why these missed opportunities happen, keep happening, God begins to give us answers through repeat scenarios. Now, we can ask the question, why does this keep on happening to me? Why do I keep on going through the same repeat scenario? Or we can ask, how do we get better? When the Holy Spirit starts opening our eyes to the tests, that is when the excitement begins. We can become change agents for God's kingdom and assist Him in bringing the kingdom of God into other people's lives. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can surprise people and be a force that will lead them closer to an eternal relationship with God. Now, when I was in seminary, there was a lot of jesting going on. I mean, young men trying to figure out how to do ministry. And there was times when I'd go to a new church, and I would see a young seminarian there, and he was in the one particular time in Kansas City, Missouri. This young seminarian came up to me after he'd preached, and he did a great job, and he was just learning the ropes of it. And mind me, I was learning the ropes of it too. But he came up to me in a very provoking manner, and he said to me, "Who are you, and what are you about?" And now the prideful side of me, the competitive side, wanted to start bragging to him all. I'm from Montana. I grew up on a ranch. I did this, that, and the other. You know, this is my education. This is what I'm about. This is who I am. But the Holy Spirit was whispering to me, "No, Sam, this is a test. Don't turn this into a contest." And granted, there's been times I'd messed up by turning things into a contest. So I looked at him for a moment, and I was thinking, oh man, how do I answer this? And I said, "Oh, I'm just a servant." And he looked at me, and he about started crying. And then he said, "You know, that's really humble." And the Holy Spirit taught me something key that day. He taught me that God is always watching, and that our fellow man is always watching. Now, a verse that goes with this is Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Also, our words matter. Choosing to answer in a spirit of humility will go far better than choosing to show a prideful response. Proverbs 18:21 states, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, if you're all taking notes, I encourage you to notate this. My purpose in speaking to you today is for you to realize the joy that can be found when you stop focusing on earthly temptations that bring only temporary pleasure and start making a lifestyle of what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Let me say that one more time, because I know that's a lot to digest. My purpose in speaking to you today is for you to realize that the joy that can be found when you stop focusing on earthly temptations and pleasures and start making a lifestyle of what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's give a little context to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians deals with having liberty and freedom in Christ. Now, Paul is arguing that those who are in Christ are not under the law. The Christians are to submit their will to God's will, not through rules and regulations like the Pharisees and religious leaders of the day taught, but to walk in the Spirit by focusing on having a relationship with Christ. Now, many Galatians are continually thinking about how to fulfill the desires of the flesh. They're always wrestling with their sin. As one scholar stated, they are in a perpetual syndrome. I've never heard that before, but I had to use that. Now, as a result of focusing on the works of the flesh, their lives were wrecked by sin. The more they thought about their sin and trying to overcome their sin by following the law through pure willpower, the more frustrated they became. Paul is challenging the Galatian church to overcome this preoccupation with sin by exhorting, correcting, and encouraging them to seek out the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there were wolves in the church called Judaizers who were creating divisions by appealing to the Jews. These false teachers had convinced the Galatians of a false gospel, which created them to be circumcised, which required them to be circumcised. These false Christians merely wanted to win converts and their own agenda, just like false teachers do today. Their agenda was to win the approval of the Jewish leaders by converting Gentiles to a form of Judaism. These false teachers had the best of both worlds. They had created a sect where they were leaders and they could escape any Jewish persecution. The effect that the false teachers had on the Galatians was a spirit of division within the church over issues of circumcision and the law. Paul is more critical of the Galatians by calling them foolish Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Paul goes through a list of reasons to return to the truth that they have in Christ Jesus in Galatians 3. Now, I don't have time to get into Galatians 3, but I encourage you to study that on your own time. Now, the Lord has so much better for his children. If we look beyond what is seen and look to the Lord for what he has set before us, to be so engulfed in what the Lord wants us to do that we forget to sin. Wouldn't it be nice not have to worry about sin and making mistakes? Wouldn't it be nice to say, I said that wrong, or, oh, that came out wrong, or I didn't say what I should have said at that time when that person was grieving or hurting? Just like Paul states in Galatians and Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, God in Christ Jesus." Paul was so focused on living for God that he forgot to focus on his past sins and shame. How did the Galatians overcome the works of the flesh? Well, today we're going to dive into that question. So today, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Today, I want to illustrate two benefits of walking in the Spirit and how that produces the fruit of the Spirit. So let's get into the first one. The benefit of walking in the Spirit. Point number one, the benefit of walking in the Spirit. So let me start by asking this question. Are the series of questions. Now, these are some hard questions, so we all struggle with them, but I do want to ask these questions. How do we get free of that anger issue? Or that lust issue? Or this addiction that is ensnaring us? Or any of the works of the flesh listed in verses 16 through 21? Well, look again with me at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, this verse sounds simple, but is it easy? No. No, it's not easy. The first act of walking in the Spirit is how we worship. God requires his followers to spend time with him through a quiet time of reading his word and praying to him, seeking his face by asking for his counsel, seeking his will for our lives. Second, walking in the Spirit takes community. We must be in relationship with God, and we must be in relationship with other believers. We must have the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts when we sin and allows us to see what God sees. Without conviction from the Holy Spirit, we cannot practice the fruit of the Spirit. Moment by moment, we are to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit says, go and speak to that person, we are to go speak to that person. If he says, make that phone call, we are to make that phone call. If he says, pray about this, then we are to pray about this. And many times when we have a problem come up and something comes up, this thought just pops into our head. Instead of praying about it, we discard it and we forget about it. Instead of seeking the Lord's wisdom and finding out, well, how do I handle this problem or this scenario or this huge burden that the Lord has placed on my heart? Now, I would argue that it is a blessing to have people around you who challenge you. Without them, you would not have to practice patience. Now, I am thankful for the men and women in the church who have revealed my weak areas that I need to work on. Brothers and sisters who lovingly confront me in areas I need help with. I need to allow people the freedom to correct me. We cannot walk in the Spirit if we are not open to people correcting us. All of us desire a strong relationship with God and with others. A right relationship with the Lord results in us building stronger relationships with other Christians. Now, this does not mean we are to have a right relationship with all people, because not all people are, well, nobody's perfect except for God. However, it does help us have a right relationship with the people that God wants us to have a right relationship with. In seeking out the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, our relationships become glorifying to God. And that video that others play back in their head sees us, gives them a picture of joy and contentment when they see us. Now, as I've grown older, and many of you who are, you know, have grown older and are more spiritually mature would probably agree with me. The greatest joy that comes to me is having healthy relationships. I can call on strong men and women of God to pray for me. My friendships have led me to better opportunities. Practicing kindness has taught me that there is a greater purpose that the Lord has for me than practicing meanness or cruelty. Now, if we look up a few verses in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul explains this in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is a strong connection between this verse and the greatest commandment found in Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, the Lord tells us plainly in his word that we are to do what we are to do in order to have a right relationship with him and to have a right relationship with others. Practicing the fruit of the Spirit results in spiritual fruit that is sown and blessed by God. We as Christians must learn to forget about self. Because of past sins, we often don't feel like we deserve God's love or blessings. God does not want us focusing on our inadequacies or self-loathing. Sometimes our greatest enemy and what gets us in the way of God's plans and purposes for our lives is self. So let me ask you guys this. When we wake up in the morning, what are we focused on? Are we focused on how good looking we are, or how big our muscles are, or how smart we are, or what our talents are? Or are we focused on serving God, loving him, and loving his people like the great commandment commands us to do? If we are so focused on reaching others with the gospel, we will not have time to focus on the works of the flesh. Learn to forget about self. Let's take our eyes off of our inadequacies, our past sins, on how we think things should go. Instead, let us learn to trust in God and his promises. Living for him, forgetting about self. Romans 12:1 states, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul exhorts us to be living sacrifices as a reasonable service to God. This means forgetting about our agenda and seeking out his agenda. I know that's hard to do. So, point number two. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this note, this point number two down. The benefit of walking in the Spirit is being an example for other Christians to follow. Let me say that one more time. The benefit of walking in the Spirit is being an example for other Christians to follow. Now, I must warn you of sowing seeds of the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, then the works of the flesh will eventually sprout. Galatians 5, 6 through 8 states, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, this happened with Samson. Now, here was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, a man of who was extremely gifted, had tremendous strength, and was mighty, and was a mighty judge of Israel. However, Satan knew his weakness. He had his. He knew what got him, what got to him. He loved sex. He loved women. He broke his vow to God and told his enemy, a Philistine, his secret to where he gained his strength. Now, she took advantage of this and cut his hair. And as a result, he lost his eyes. God did forgive him, and he did give him grace. And his hair did grow back, his strength returned, but his eyes didn't grow back. There was a cost that was a great cost to him. God still used him greatly, and he did destroy his enemies, but at the cost of his eyes. You see, friends, our fleshly desires lie to us. John 17:9 states, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, how many of you in here can remember a time when you lost your temper and it cost you a relationship? Or you said something unkind and it cost you a friend or family member. The cost of sin is so much greater than the alternative of seeking out Christ and his will over our will. However, the flip side is much better. If we look at the life of missionaries and the life of Paul, he was greatly used by God and had a heart of compassion that all leaders need to have towards people. He wrote over half the books of the New Testament and was greatly loved by the many churches that he planted. His willingness to do God's will over his own will resulted in Christianity being spread throughout the known world. Friends, if you want a verse to help you stop thinking about yourself, here is an excellent verse. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and write this down. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul writes this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." The Philippian church loved Paul and ministered to him while he was in prison. He had great joy while he was in prison, and he was still able to follow or fellowship and see God's kingdom built because of his obedience to God. Paul was greatly used because of his willingness to say yes to the Lord. This was not easy. It took a lot of self-discipline in his life to keep on denying the flesh. Now, how do you build the inner man? How do you create character? Have any of y'all thought about that? Yeah, trials. Through pain, the pain of seeing and experiencing the results of consequences. Now, if you study consequences over just making decisions, then the results will be far better. As one man said, play the movie to the end. If we listen to modern music, the lyrics are enticing people to sin, practice sexual sin,
to use drugs, to act out violently, to blame others for their problems. That is a lie and trap from Satan, used to draw a person into the slavery of practicing works of the flesh. We're either a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. Now, what does God say Satan's goal is for us? Distract us. Let's look at that in John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come so that you may have life, that you may have life, and that you have it abundantly," or in the full, or to the full. Jesus warns Peter in Luke 22:31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that it does not happen to you." Fulfilling the lust of the flesh results in Satan destroying you. Now, the Lord put this message on my heart to speak to the challenges of being men and women of excellence. The discipline that is required to live a life above average requires some pain. Now, I would challenge you to embrace the grind. Embrace the pain, embrace the challenges. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want to emphasize the phrase embrace the grind. Embrace the grind of ministry. Those who are serving in the church, thank you. Embrace the grind of picking up your cross daily and following him. To choose the hard things over the easy things. The pain over the pleasure. This is what builds the inner man. This is what creates grit, stamina, emotional endurance, cultivates character, and creates men and women of excellence. Now, we all want to hear our Savior say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Embracing the grind will allow us to be examples to a sin-infested world. So the two benefits of walking in the Spirit: one, the benefit of walking in the Spirit; two, the benefit of walking in the Spirit is being an example to other Christians to follow. Now, there's one truth claim I want you to all consider. Where knowledge ends, frustration begins. Let me say that one more time. Where knowledge ends, frustration begins. We saw this in the life of Job. He was highly favored by God. He had wealth, family, prestige, and a life that is an example to many. However, one day God and Satan make a bet. And God allows Satan to test Job and see if he will curse God. Now, this happened without the knowledge of Job knowing. In a way, it kind of seemed like a practical joke. I mean, you know, who would not let somebody go through those kinds of trials without telling them? But God had a purpose in that. Satan's like, "If you allow me to do this to him, I'll curse you to his face." And God's like, "No, he won't." So let's just take a look at some of the things that happened to Job. Now, first of all, Job loses his children. Then his health starts to decline, and his wealth declines. His three friends visit him to try and come up with answers to why this is happening to him. How many of us have all been there where bad things are happening? We have we don't have any answers, and the people around us don't have many answers either. But they all came up short. So they tell him he must have sinned, and this is what caused him to have these misfortunes. Job could not find out exactly what he did to have these tragedies happen to him. Going to man and seeking man's answers was futile. So what does he do? You all know the story. He begins to question God and his motives. He asks God, "Why is this happening to me?" And God does eventually answer him. But does God answer him with an answer? Does he answer him with an answer? No. What does he do? More questions. So, God does eventually restore Job in the end and blesses him greater than he did before. One could have only imagined the frustration Job went through, going through all of those tests Satan put him through, and still choosing to remain faithful. For those of you in here who have gone through great trials and have remained faithful to God, God bless you. Now, in trying to understand the tragedies that will come upon us one day, we all look to the life of Job and thank God for how he used Job in an illustration as to how to remain faithful in the midst of trials. Now, friends, the Bible does warn us about trials that come into our lives in James 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Life can knock us down when we are living a godly life. Seeking him, we give, we serve, we do our best to raise our kids. But one day we get cancer. Or a loved one dies. This is a fallen world. Let me encourage you with this verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, are transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal." Now, I was at a funeral back around 2016 where a young man, age 22, had committed suicide. And the pastor that was given the... performing the funeral, his name was Eric Peterson. And I was thinking, how do you speak to the family of someone who has lost a child to suicide? What do you say to them? And so I leaned in and I listened. Now this is what Eric Peterson said. "Now there was a man who had a son who was dying of cancer. And this son was right around eight years old, a young boy. Now, this boy was entering the end of his life. He was on hospice. And the dad and the young boy were saying their goodbyes. Now, the son said to his dad, he said, "Dad, I know if I fall asleep that I'm going to. And the dad said to him, "Yes, I know." And the little boy said to him, he said, "But I'll see you in the morning." And his dad said, "Yes, I'll see you in the morning." And with those final words, the little boy closed his eyes and drifted off into the heavens. And later on, the dad said to his pastor, he said, "I cannot wait for the morning. I cannot wait for the morning." Now, I studied the room after hearing that illustration to see how people would respond. And it was an overwhelming time of tears of compassion. Eric had given that illustration knowing what that family needed to hear. Now, it's hard to admit our weaknesses and limitations. However, when we do, it opens the door for us to show compassion to others. So today, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through this message and you do not know Jesus, let me introduce you to him. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity, being the Son. He is God. He has the ability to give eternal life to those who repent and believe in him. He was born of a virgin birth, the only one who has been born of a virgin in all of history. He is also the only person to be resurrected from the dead and to stay alive afterwards. Now, there were other people that were raised from the dead, but they eventually died. He never did die after that. He only died one time. Now, he chose to step down and take on flesh. That is like a human being becoming an ant. He did this because he loved us enough to live the perfect life, chose to take our place on the cross and die for us. Jesus is the only way to God. John 14:6 states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus, being without sin and being God, is the perfect Lamb of God to be offered for our sin. Jesus was the propitiation, meaning he took God's wrath that we deserved upon himself to reconcile him, or us, to the Father. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, this being Easter coming up, Easter in the next week, what would God die for? If it wasn't to reconcile us to God, there would be no purpose for him to come. There'd be no purpose for him to die. Now, one other thing to think about, he was the only man that chose to die. Every other person is condemned to death. Every other person does die. He was the only person who chose. His blood was shed for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He died a criminal's death, the most brutal execution known to man. However, 3 days later, like he told his disciples, he was resurrected from the dead. Now, the Bible is very clear in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you enough to give his only Son for you. Believe plus receive equals become. So today, if you do not know if you have a relationship with Jesus, I will ask you, will you repent and put your trust in Jesus? Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for loving us enough to send your Son to die for us. I thank you for the man who separated B.C. from A.D., I thank you for not being a liar. Lord, we love you. We give you this day. I want to lift up all those in this room who have lost loved ones, who are hurting. I want to lift up those who are financially struggling. I want to lift up those who have health issues. I pray that you would bless them, that you would fill their hearts and minds with your spirit, that you would love on them, and that you would bless them this day. In Jesus' name, amen.